Coming up, stealing your feelings.
3, 2, 1. Tech quiz.
What do Facebook, Apple, and Google all have in common? Yes, they are all good companies who are doing the best things. But there's another fact that's even more exciting. And the best way to reveal it is to reveal a fact about you. You like dogs. Surprise, we've been watching you back.
That was a clip from Stealing Your Feelings. It's an interactive documentary featured at the UX Doc Space. And that's a new concept at the Montreal International Documentary Film Festival. The space hosts interactive projects, installations, and virtual reality experiences. And UX Doc Space is located at the Cinématique Québécoise. And Noah Levinson is the creator of Stealing Your Feelings, which we just heard in that clip. And he joins me now in studio. Noah, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm well. Thanks very much for coming on the show. Tell me, what is Stealing Your Feelings?
Okay, so Stealing Your Feelings is an interactive film about the ways that social networks and consumer applications may be secretly using facial emotion recognition AI to extract and monetize information about you.
And when you say it's an interactive film, what does that mean?
So the film actually just plays in your web browser, and it uses the camera in your device to make you the star of the film. And it actually uses facial emotion recognition AI to watch you back. So it analyzes your face as you react to content it shows you. And depending on your reaction, the film makes a series of decisions about what you're like in ways that you probably wouldn't want a machine making decisions about you.
And so when you say it's looking at your face, so what, it's looking at the way your mouth, if you're smiling, if you're frowning, if your eyebrows are furrowed, or what exactly is it searching for in that facial recognition?
Approximately just that, yeah. Facial emotion recognition AI essentially is like measuring the shapes of your face and comparing it to what some machine learning model knows about how human beings look when they feel different emotions.
So how did you come up with even being able to do that?
The film itself? I mean, I'm a computer programmer, and as a programmer, I had done some work around facial detection and facial recognition. So I knew that this technology existed, and it really started with a hypothetical question. I mean, we're giving big tech corporations like unrestricted access to our faces all the time, right? We're taking selfies and posting them on Instagram. We're using apps.
We're tagging each other.
Exactly.
This is grandma. This is mom. Yeah.
Totally. And so I just asked myself a question. I said, okay, now that we've given them access to our faces, what's the hypothetically worst possible thing they could be doing to harm us? And I came up with this idea. Maybe they could extract our feelings and correlate it with other inputs from our device. But it turns out that the idea is not entirely hypothetical after all, because while researching the project, I discovered patents indicating that these companies have been thinking about precisely the same ideas for a number of years now.
So you found already existing patents on this very thing.
Exactly, yeah. Actually, the most illustrative one is from Snapchat.
How does that one work?
So their plan is basically this. Every time you point your camera at your face while using Snapchat, they're going to secretly use facial emotion recognition AI to analyze your face and decide how you feel at that moment in time. And then they're going to correlate it with your geolocation, right? So now they know how you feel about wherever you are in the world. And they're going to sell that information about you to the organizers of public events, like concert promoters, or in maybe a worse case, the organizers of political rallies.
I feel like we kind of saw this thing with there was this big story last year when you're at the mall and there's the map where you're looking for a store, and that came out that there was a camera and your photo was being taken, and they were looking at exactly that, trying to gauge your mood and see what store you were looking for or going to. And there was an uproar about that.
And
people are not comfortable with this.
Of course, and there should be. Another example of that is, I think it happened in Sweden, where they found an advertisement for a restaurant that was detecting what gender it thought the viewer was. And if it was a man, it showed the man a picture of pizza, and if it was a woman, it showed the woman salad.
Wow. So you make this movie. What's the reaction been where the viewer becomes the star of the movie and then using your personal information like that?
Most people say they laughed and it was funny, and they were also very scared.
Yeah. They go home with nightmares after, and you kind of put tape and masking tape on all of your screen, your webcams.
I certainly do, and I hope everyone else does as well.
Yeah, you do. You put you cover all your webcams on your tablets, on your laptop.
Oh, for sure.
Yes, eh?
Yep.
Okay. So I guess that's something we can do to protect ourselves. What should we know as consumers? Because everybody has a phone in their pocket, a phone with them everywhere they go. What do we need to know?
Well, I think the main thing to know is, like, look, a lot of these applications like Snapchat are free, right? But they're not really free. You have to pay in some way. And the way that you're paying is they're discovering data about you in increasingly sophisticated ways, and they're selling it. When you give an application access to your face, you don't necessarily realize the complexity of, like, a system that you've opted into. And so I think the best thing people could do is to generally just be more aware of how they share information about themselves, but also themselves physically, their face, with applications and websites and like that services on the internet.
You showed this to people, I'm not sure if it was in New York or not, where it didn't get quite a good reaction in guessing people's political inclination, because in the film, you also try to get people's political inclinations. What happened there?
That is true. The film develops a series of personality inferences about you, so it tries to figure out where you fall in the political spectrum. The film premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York, and at that time, I think there may have been a bug in it, such that all of the festival programmers and art people in New York City media and journalists were all classified as absolutely 100% Republican, and they did not like that very much.
New York's a pretty blue state.
It sure is. Yeah, that's where I live. So, everyone pulled me aside to tell me they did not, in fact, vote for Donald Trump and to ask me how this AI could possibly be so wrong about them. And as much as it didn't make me any friends at the festival, I think it was actually quite helpful in quickly communicating some of the potential harms of this technology.
So I guess that's my next question is, you made this movie. What do you want people who watch it to take away from it other than nightmares?
Nightmares are good enough, but I think the main thing is just to be more aware of the current state of artificial intelligence and how artificial intelligence is very quickly and increasingly sophisticatedly being deployed in all of the applications and services that they use every day.
Have you had any reaction from any of the companies?
I have not personally. The project was profiled by Scientific American, and in the Scientific American piece, they reached out to Snapchat for comment, and Snapchat went on the record as they pointed to their privacy policies and said, "We don't have anything else to say."
Very interesting stuff. Well, Noah Levinson, thank you very much for this, for stopping by and enlightening us about how what can happen when the worlds of technology and social media can cross over and AI can cross over like that. Noah Levinson, the creator of Stealing Your Feelings, it's an interactive documentary featured at the UX Doc Space. It's a new concept at the Montreal International Documentary Festival. So Noah will be there tonight at 8 o'clock, and UX Doc Space is open until November 23rd. Thanks for stopping by, Noah.
Thanks a lot.